Welcome to 500 Words Lessons on Writing. This is Katrina Lee. This podcast explores the triumphs and tragedies of 10 years as a published author. So today's podcast is about having a great project partner. I don't know about you, but I am really feeling the Monday morning hangover this morning, and I don't know if it is partly because our state has opened up a bit, so we had a few social activities. We had church yesterday, a couple things, something going on today as well. But let me just start by encouraging any of you who may feel like me this morning. This is from The Morning Brew, an online morning newsletter. Good morning. Worried you're starting to unravel? Over the weekend, a man who had been kicked out of a McDonald's for not wearing a mask threw a rock through the window, stole some underwear from a Walmart, then surrendered to police. If you didn't do that, keep up the great work. So, by that standard, you know, things aren't too bad. So keep up the great work, everyone whose weekend wasn't like that. Also, a couple quick shout-outs. My friend Sherilyn from Kansas, hey there, I've been enjoying your blog posts, and I'm so glad you've done the audio. That makes it much more accessible. Thank you for that encouragement, Sherilyn. I appreciate that a lot. My sister Kara says, love the podcast. And my friend Carmen here from Elkhart had said this some days ago, and I just never gave her a shout out. But she said, we just listened to your podcast. It's super interesting. I can't wait to see what is to come. And I apologize if I missed anyone else as well, but thank you for that encouragement. It's been super busy, but also fun. And today is perhaps a discussion of my most favorite book, or the book really in my heart. My mind goes back to a kitchen table in Jerusalem, where Faces of Syria was born. Rosetta Byers and I worked into the night, knowing that if we didn't complete it before I left for the United States, the project could drag out interminably. Unbelievably, and I still say that today, unbelievably, the book was published just weeks later. It is by far the fastest project I've ever been part of. But thanks to Rosetta's design skills and familiarity with the culture, I would count it as the most beautiful as well. If there's one book that I've helped produce that I think everyone should have on their coffee table, it's Faces of Syria. I really feel the book has the power to change deep-seated prejudices against refugees, especially those from the Middle East, especially the Muslim population, through its format of a picture on one side of the page and then the quote from that person on the other. There are a number of children. Children love this book as well. But it is a work that I truly feel could be beneficial in every home. And here's a few quick points about good partners for creative projects. One, this is just a fun one. Good partners are interesting. It's maybe not essential, but I just love interesting people. And Rosetta totally was that on our trip. For example, well, we had never met before I landed in the airport in Amman, Jordan, and they were there waiting on me because we all hopped onto a plane to go to Beirut, Lebanon. And I remember Rosetta explaining to me, I think before we got on, that we were actually going to fly way south under the V-shaped bottom of the nation of Israel. Basically, I think we actually veered over Egypt a bit before heading north all the way up the Mediterranean Sea to Beirut, to Lebanon, which is north of Israel. Why? So we wouldn't get shot down for flying to Lebanon through Israel's airspace. Okay, well, that's a good reason. But I just loved how she explained this fascinating piece of trivia to me because it was very interesting to me. In Jerusalem, Rosetta also totally got it that I wanted to walk up to the Garden of Gethsemane by myself early Sunday morning. I think some people might have discouraged a lone woman from wandering around in an unfamiliar city. And she just gave me advice about how to get there. And then there was the time our bus was stopped and we weren't sure if we would make it to the border in time to cross, in time to make it back to Amman so I could catch my plane home. Oh, wow, that was a situation of grabbing baklava, hopping across a ditch into the truck of a stranger, and we truly wondered if he wasn't an angel. But that's all in, that's all commemorated in Voices of Syria, the sequel Two Faces of Sirius, so I won't elaborate. Secondly, good partners understand that projects are exhausting. Kevin and Rosetta took me all over Lebanon and Jordan. We walked the dusty trails into refugee camps in the hot Baca Valley of Lebanon. We sat in the coolness of churches in Amman, Jordan. Kevin could converse with people in Arabic, and Rosetta understood and spoke some too. I listened and asked questions through translation, which isn't super hard, but it's just kind of exhausting. Rosetta discreetly took photos as much as she could. Some people weren't okay with that. Being on the road is super hard, and honestly, I just don't think I'm a very great traveling companion. I remember at least two times when I felt like I was going to snap, or perhaps I should say I did snap. I could usually make it through my professional duties as far as the interviews, but once those were done and we kind of just let up. It was just, I was just really stressed a couple of times. But Rosetta remained upbeat and understanding, and she and Kevin were the best tour guides a person could ever hope for. Thank you guys for that. I just still appreciate that so much. And then good partners make sacrifices for the project. After our interviews were at an end, we went to Jerusalem. On one day in Jerusalem, Rosetta and I put together Faces of Syria, essentially. Rosetta chose the photos. I sorted through audio and my notes and found quotes to correspond with each character. We had to make sure we were picking people who actually were okay with having their picture taken or having their quote used. Rosetta also designed the layout for the picture book, and she was able to infuse that Arabic flavor into it, which makes it so beautiful. I love the layout of this book. Later when she visited the States, she worked on it much harder than me, at the expense of spending time with her family even. She stuck it out, and that's why it was published in such an absurdly short time. But here is the biggest or the most important part about good partners, I think, and Rosetta's actually the one who really verbalized it for me. And so I'm going to take you straight to the interview with her. Rosetta and Kevin live in a mountaintop cabin in Virginia with their two children, Asher and Jasmine. I visited them one time, and with my Northern Indiana Elkhart driving skills, I was barely able to make it up to the house. So it's possible, but they truly live on a mountain. And again, that's my perspective. Rosetta, before she married Kevin, she did a couple of very cool and interesting things, some of which pertain to today's topic. But one is she worked at Carlisle Printing in their design department. She also studied in Jerusalem for a while. I believe she studied understanding where in today's Israel the Bible events happened, which is very interesting. She met her husband, Kevin, in Jerusalem. Then they also spent time living in Amman, Jordan after their marriage. So I will take you now. Oh, I was going to mention that Rosetta also is an Usborne book consultant, and that's been something fun that she's been able to do with her son, Asher. He loves books as well, and so they make a great team together with that. So let's go, without further ado, straight to the interview. It was kind of just an idea, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, it was like, well, could you do a picture book too? But I don't think we had a clear vision in our heads, at the beginning of what it would even look like. And do you remember, I feel like we talked about Humans of New York.
Yes, we did.
When do you think we had that conversation? I don't think it was right away, I guess, is what.
No, I feel like it wasn't until we were in Jordan.
Yes.
Our apartment.
Yes. I was just going to say, I think we were in your apartment. That's hysterical.
No, really. in that living room with the hot pink rug.
I forgot the rug was hot pink, but I was going to say we were in Amman, and that makes sense. And then that clicked. But am I right? Mm-hmm. We really didn't start. Maybe we wrote some things down that day. But I feel like the bulk of the work was in Jerusalem at that kitchen table. Do you remember?
I remember you doing a lot of work.
No.
There. I don't remember doing
No.
much. Okay.
It was not just me because I was looking for, you were looking through the pictures,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And then I had the quotes.
You had to listen to the audio and pull quotes, which I think you would note things down throughout the day as you thought of them.
That's right.
But if there was something that you felt like would fit very well.
Okay. Right. I forgot I had to listen through my audio. And maybe I did. I was kind of sick, I think, and slept in. And I bet you probably went and did some things. I forget. But I think when you came back, I feel like we stayed up late working on that.
I do think so, too. We were trying to crunch as much in as possible before you left.
And I think you even started designing it.
We came up with a couple layouts that we submitted to Cam and let them choose kind of what they thought would work.
Okay.
What they felt was the best. I think that's how we started it.
Okay.
I did maybe 8 to 10 pages and sent it to them.
Okay.
But we had chosen most of the photos and the quotes by the time you left, if not all.
I think, too. Well, and if we hadn't done that, it probably would have, the time the project would have taken probably would have, it would have turned into 6 months, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe yeah, I think so, too.
Crazy, but then I know, too, I still remember feeling bad, but you worked on it a lot then when you came to Ohio on furlough, right? How was that?
Yes. I spent a lot of our furlough in Virginia, I think, on working on the project. We came to Ohio for a wedding, so I think we flew there and were there for a couple of days, and then when we came traveled down to Virginia is where I spent a lot of time working on getting it wrapped up. But I was pretty determined that we would finish it and hit the deadline in order to have some copies in time for open house.
Yeah. And we did, but I just think that if you and I would have been arguing about, if we would not have been on the same page, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
About
it couldn't have come together.
That definitely not that quickly, but
as it did.
And it's kind of remarkable because it's not like we had ever met each other before or anything
exactly
like that, but I feel like we just didn't disagree that much as far as how our vision of, you know, what our vision of the book was.
And maybe it was partially, too, we sat through all those interviews together, and in our hearts, it was for the people, and we were hearing all the stories, and so our goal was the same, and some of the details along the way we didn't get hung up on. We really wanted this project to come together, so we were determined to work it out.
You are so right. I did not think about that. But that is a very, very critical piece of it, I think. Because I was thinking, like, you know, it's not like we picked each other as partners on this project. It just happened. But what we did do was we had the same experiences, which made us understand what we wanted for that book.
Right. And I didn't feel like I was having to work hard to get along with you or to even see eye to eye on the project, which is like I was really excited about the opportunity and getting a chance to put this into people's hands.
Oh, and I was just so glad because you're so talented with design and stuff. It was like our skills totally meshed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it.
What we were doing. Oh. I still miss. It still makes me want to go back when I think about it and think about how you guys took me all over Jordan and Amman and out on the roof of your apartment. And
I'm sitting here paging through the book and just bringing back so many memories just looking at the pictures.
Do you have a favorite at all? Just off the bat.
That's pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorites was the time we spent in the camp in Lebanon. We just walked around through some of the tents and got to go inside a couple of them.
Was that when we were holding some babies and stuff?
I think so. I remember especially one young mother. She was standing outside our tent, and then she welcomed us in, and there was two or three babies in the tent with her. Mm-hmm. I don't remember her story, but I'm sure that she's in here.
I think she's wearing purple, maybe. Yes. Unless that's not the same one.
She is. She's standing outside with two of her sons, glowing purple. Mm-hmm. And just found the spread, yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, that, her face and the joyful expression on her face, in spite of what everything they had gone through, stood out to me.
You know, the one that I just love is that very last one, too. The Christian family in Jordan, the very last page of Faces of Syria, where he talks about Jesus enabling us to forgive. And I'm not looking at the quote right now, but it's just, it's so powerful. And I just remember being there in their house and how he sang. That was the same guy, I believe, that sang the song of what Jesus sang on the cross in Aramaic. Do you remember that?
I think so. I remember him singing. Yeah. I had forgotten.
Father, forgive them, or whatever. I, of course, didn't understand either the Arabic or the Aramaic.
Yeah. Or the Aramaic. Yeah, that was powerful. I'm really grateful we were able to put that in, that story, and then the story of their forgiveness for the horrific things that their family went through.
And, of course, a lot of the people were not Christians, you know, that we talked to. And so,
That was probably refreshing to hear from that perspective.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I just was thinking about that project again, getting sentimental and kind of wistful about that time.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's something I love to talk about. Middle East definitely has a big part of my heart.
And here is what this gentleman that I mentioned in our interview, what he says. I was a Christian only by name in Syria, but when I accepted Jesus Christ, I became a new person. I felt overwhelming happiness. I became more brave. When I think of my sister, I am not able to express myself very well. My sister was 50 years old when she was assaulted. The person who did it was our neighbor, a young man who was raised with our children. After assaulting her, he killed her and went and told her family, "Go and see your sister. I assaulted her and threw her into the street." They couldn't go get her immediately because there were bombs right then. But when they got her, they carried her away in a wheelbarrow that was used for concrete. Yet, Jesus gave me the strength to forgive. Jesus Christ forgave the people who crucified him. How can I do otherwise? And I'm just going to play you as well him singing the traditional song that Jesus sang on the cross. And I believe it's in Aramaic and Arabic. And so you won't understand it, but I think you'll love the haunting tones that you'll hear here. Thank you so much, Rosetta, for making that project happen. If you don't have a copy of this beautiful book, it has a full-page photo of a refugee on one side and then the quotes on the opposite side. Children love this book. I just realized that the retail price of the book is actually $12.99, even though I have it in my shop for $9.99. I'm just going to keep it that way for now, at least through the grand opening. So if you don't have a copy and you want to pick one up sometime, now is the time, because not only is it $9.99, but you get 10% off of that with the code 10YEARS. Automatic entry into the drawing for $100 cash prize. By the way, the odds of winning are still pretty good. People who have ordered twice will be entered twice. And you will get, with every purchase that includes at least one book, you will get a free leather bookmark while supplies last. I've been running low, but I think I'll be okay. So check it out at katrinahooverlee.com. There are reader photos, quite a few children in this listing as well. Here's the trivia for today. On page 129 of Faces of Syria, there's a picture of a gardener who planted a kind of bean. despite being told they would not grow in his environment. Where did the bean seeds come from? The first person to email me, Katrina@500-words.com, with the right answer, receives a gift pouch of Captain Garrison coffee by mail. You may only win once. Congrats to Cole and Anita Miller for the correct answer to the last trivia, but I am. That was super cute. Anita is my cousin from Missouri, and her son Cole said that since he won the coffee, he would give that to her for Mother's Day. I said, well, that's great that he has that on his radar. Mother's Day, of course, that's past now. For tomorrow, is it important to have a clear mission statement for a project? You know, every day I keep thinking that this is the best interview ever. And then the next day I realize that we have one that's even just as interesting. Or, yeah, I've had so much fun talking to all of these people. But this will be with Reagan Truck, who you may know if you watch or listen to Anabaptist Perspectives. We discuss Voices of Syria and Reagan's work in the Middle East with an organization I will not name at this point. But come back and don't miss that interview. That'll be tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to another lesson on writing.